All right, so it is officially called to order. We've passed through introductions. Let's talk about the development plan. I think, anyway, since it was a lingering issue outstanding at the last meeting.
Can we, did, what did everyone read? Can we just get a lowdown on that?
I read it all except for the thing that you sent late this afternoon. I haven't gotten a chance to look at.
I have the package of stuff, which I've scanned. I have, so I don't know that I have everything. This is what I have. Did you give this to them? Is that how they got it?
No, I think Fernanda. Yeah.
So I have about a package of about 40 pages.
Yeah, this is everything.
So I've got everything.
The thing
okay.
That was
so
sent
I've
that.
Scanned everything. I haven't, like, thought hard,
okay.
But I've scanned it all. I understand
okay.
The agenda.
Okay.
I've read it reasonably closely, A through E.
A through
okay.
E.
All of them.
So,
all right, so on the professional development, so yeah. It sounds like everyone's read or looked at it. So thoughts?
I think
I will leap in to say that the mentorship relationships are exactly the sort of thing that I was thinking about all along. And so,
okay.
Yeah, ideally, I think the mentor relationship is great, and I think the sort of very tangible, like, call them up every 2 weeks with the GiveWell biweekly report, talk to them about it, get their thoughts on it. I think that's very good. I want to also make sure to, like, essentially close the loop and have as part of the expectation, basically, that those mentors will, at a minimum, sort of write up their reflections on your approach or thinking, and that gets shipped to the board, basically. Because
okay.
You know, part of this is meant to assess. I mean, part of it is it's meant to develop you as a possible leader of the organization, and it's also, I think, hopefully meant to we can assess whether or not you know you're progressing along that path. So I would want that part to be as part of the expectation for the mentor when you reach out to the person.
That makes
sure.
Sense. I wrote that down.
Yep.
I guess we haven't had Lindy. Lindy's not on the call, right? I mean, my understanding is you have been already doing this with Lindy. Is that right?
We were until she got very she had low availability because of pregnancy.
Right.
But we were, and we're going to do it again. And we've been doing it informally with Rob, and we just agreed with him to formalize it, make sure he gets the biweekly reports. So I'll add what you said about sending his reflections. And then as for the rest, I mean, we'll see. We're going to talk to those guys soon. But, the tricky thing about this plan is that it's kind of a networking recruiting thing. It's not, it's in a way it's hard to, and it takes time to get these people. So we
yeah,
put
I mean,
it
I also,
in, I
think
realistic.
I guess it's not the second part, it's the third part, which is pursuing the sort of good, high visibility, like good programs related to nonprofit management, to see if we can't get engaged in one of those programs, I think is very important. I want to make sure basically that like an outcome is 6 months from now, it seems like you should have been able to at least apply or actively pursue, whatever, all three of these different things, or four, I guess it is.
And
I think like ideally we would hook one of those fish, and that would be a great, like, sort of really on the ball mentorship that's going on a biweekly basis at a minimum, and then getting engaged in one of these communities, and I think that would be very good. I think that's I'd feel
so
good.
So on those competitive programs, I mean, I agree, I would feel good too. It's just important to remember that A, they're going to take a long time to hear back from.
Yep.
And we had our eye on those back in June or whatever, but they do this stuff once a year, most of them. And the other thing is that, obviously, we could get rejected from all three. I think the odds are decent of that. They're very competitive. And so that's just something to recognize. Also, it's going to take time to apply to them, so that was it was put on there as more of a question. And it sounds like Bob's in favor of us applying to all three, taking the necessary time. I know Ellie is as well. I'm pretty much also there, so if other people are, then I'll write down that we're actually going to do that.
Yeah, I guess one of the questions would be whether, like, I think probably not just, willy-nilly apply to all three. Like, think about where you think the best ones are, which are probably.
I think all three are good. I mean, those three are from a larger list, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I know what all three of those are. I've looked at them a fair amount. Like, I think they're all a good fit if we could get them. They're also all a time investment that could go to nothing. And I don't have a good way of estimating the odds. All I know is they're very competitive. So, you know, you're trying to get a very specific group of people to agree that you have an awesome idea, which is different from trying to find your customers. So it's a, that's all. But I mean, on balance, I'm fine with applying to them and just wanted other people's thoughts on whether we should.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm in agreement.
I think that's a good plan. Right. I mean, I guess this open invitation entrepreneurship group, like, sort of say, I guess it's low cost, so you can do it and hopefully something works out. But anyway,
yep.
I'm not that interested. Like, I'm not that interested in that.
Okay.
Relative to the other two things, which I think will be a lot better.
Okay. In terms of the mentors, Bob, I mean, you or one of the other of us or all of us could together, I think it would make sense in terms of, you know, I think your idea of having them provide some feedback directly to the board is great. I think that would be facilitated if the board just has three or four specific questions.
Yep.
That we want them to answer for us at the end of the 6 months. It makes it easier on them rather than them just having to come up with something out of the blue that may or may not answer our questions.
Yeah.
The other thing, Holden and Ellie, that I would encourage you guys is to not limit your conversations with those people to the sort of the biweekly plan. And, you know, a big part of developing as a leader is learning how you relate to the board. And so one of the things you should be talking about with them is how you relate to us, and seeking their input and advice on that, and things that you are not necessarily ready to talk to the board about, and what's the appropriate way to broach those things. But that's just a thought on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just make sure I understand. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just want to make sure I understand what you just said, that you want to see that we talk to them about how to communicate with you, basically.
Well, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to engage these mentors, use them for everything that they're worth. So one of the things that they are worth is that they're not on the board.
I see.
And so one of the things to developing as a leader is learning how to handle a board in the appropriate manner. And so that's one thing I would encourage you guys to talk about is how you handle your interactions there. That's an important thing to learn. So that's just a side, more personal note. You know, take advantage of them for all they're worth. And don't just treat them as a non-board member, board member, talking to them about the same things you're talking to us about.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, this list that we have of potential people is relatively short, and I wouldn't, you know, I'd guess that most of these people won't work out. So if you guys know anyone that you think would fit, play this role well, let us know, and we'll talk to them.
Yep.
Okay. So yep. I'm afraid we're going to fill the 30 minutes.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're done, and that seems...
Yep.
Right, you're on board there.
Good.
Okay,
yep.
Good. It'll just be, you know, put it in the biweekly reports and so that we have a up-to-date understanding of what's going on.
Yep.
Number two.
So
I guess I was... Go ahead, Greg.
So maybe I missed this, but help me understand the change in the vision or what you were describing there and what motivated it.
Right. That's the next item. Or no, wait, whatever. It's the last item, but I'm fine with discussing it now.
I think we should essentially go to whatever overview of progress since 6/19/2008 and then all that goes into everything else. So.
Okay. Ellie, do you want to?
Well, I would do this. So maybe if you haven't read, I mean, we wrote this quick summary of what changed. Maybe if you haven't read it, you should just take a look at it, and then we could have a discussion.
And you say vision. Where did I miss the quick summary?
Since 6/19.
All right. It's attachment. You want attachment D for your question.
So I must have missed it somehow. All right. This is going to be my end of my stuff. Okay.
It's the overview of progress and new evidence in 6/19/08.
Finding it. It doesn't seem to be my stack.
So at a high level.
But you want to just, so I read, I guess I read the stuff, that must have been, I don't know, missing from my packet here, or I just couldn't find it.
Why don't you just go over at a high level, Holden?
Yep.
Or Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the basic picture is that, you know, we thought that we'd be able to raise a lot of money, or substantial amount of money, through networking and hitting, you know, high net worth people. When we actually went out and tried that, we learned a few things. You know, first, that it's extremely time intensive, that high net worth people are probably not our best market, you know, because they, you know, for a variety of reasons that we go through. And so we think, so therefore, the, you know, networking to high net worth people wasn't going to be a very good strategy. When we thought about hitting that medium sized market, what we realized is that networking to them, you know, person to person contact, was going to be too time intensive to raise enough money that it made any sense to do it. Then we also thought that the current state of our research, you know, this is what we thought in June, would be good enough to allow us to go out and raise money. And then when we started thinking about ways of reaching out to people in more large scale ways, you know, and we thought about how we could reach these medium sized donors, not going person to person, we think that we need significantly broader and deeper research to have a good chance at reaching out to them directly. And we can go into that. We also thought that there was going to be no easy way to, you know, significantly improve our research offering without an extremely big growth in staff and capacity. And now we think that we can do that in a shorter period of time than we previously thought, at a lower cost. We also thought, and this really importantly, we thought that by raising this $500,000 from our network, that would in some ways prove the model of GiveWell, prove that there's demand out there that wants what we have, and then we could use that proof to go to investors and raise money for capacity. But when we talked to some investors and we thought further about what you know, Holden and I both thought further about the project, we changed our mind about that to say, look, you know, just raising, you know, milking our network for $500,000 is not going to prove that demand for this exists. In order to do that, we need to, you know, prove that we can raise money in a systematic, scalable way. And so, you know, therefore, you know, thinking that we used to think we could prove demand, now we don't. And so with all those things put together, what changed is saying, you know, instead of focusing now on trying to prove demand and trying to raise money, we think the primary focus should be improving our research, finding ways to scale our research model, meaning, you know, find ways that we can do more research and rate more charities without just Holden and I doing the work and relying on our judgment, and find, you know, find systematic, scalable ways to reach the market. But, you know, basically we wanted to flip our focus. At the last meeting, the focus was, you know, 80% on money moved. Now we think the focus should be 80% roughly on improving the research and the website. Any thoughts on that? And we go in the document that Greg, I guess you don't have, goes into the specifics of all the, you know, the meetings that we've had and what we learned from each and why we think the news, you know, the evidence for the statements I was making before.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. I worry about like constantly shifting goals, but I think it,
yep.
But certainly changing when the evidence becomes clear is what we should do. So that evidence seems clear. I scanned this, saw the people you met with, got their views. So makes sense to me that the research would be what, you know, the smartest people would be judging on. That's reasonable.
I mean, I think.
Yeah.
We still
there's
need,
also a huge. There's two things. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think focusing on the research is good, and I think I definitely agree with that. I think we still essentially need to maintain or target some steady state of money moved, essentially, to say, like, basically, even if, you know, the perfect database, you know, whatever, not the perfect database, but the perfect or great research, you know, 5 years from now doesn't come out, it's still, like, to bring people in to fund the operating expenses, you want to still say, look, you're still going to move – you know, let's say 2-for-1, right? Which is not so bad, or even, yeah, I mean, 2-for-1, right?
Right.
That's not so bad.
Right.
I mean, it's better than, like, than you would have done otherwise, right? If you had just moved your own money. And so
right.
I think that my vision of it is continue to meet some sort of relatively basic threshold of money moved, and then actively pursue the research.
Right, but it's only better.
Yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't work quite like that. Like, in my view, just look at the main document with the long-term steady state. I think it's okay if you measure money moved in a narrow way with that ratio that you guys were describing in the long-term steady state. But if you're not having more, significantly more impact than that, I mean, I don't think that's all that great a return on investment. You would have to believe that the difference in the charities, which I think is probably believable, but the difference in the charities where the money would have went to where it went, because you're talking about people that listen to you, so they're already at a certain threshold, and where would they have put their money versus that, right? And so that difference isn't so obvious to me what that difference is. You can't compare it against where the average dollar goes, because it's somebody that was at least engaged enough to find you and listen, and so I'm somewhat concerned that that would be too low a ratio long term. But I think that if you consider that with the branding and the fact that lots of undocumented money moved would actually be happening, then I think you could get to a ratio that makes economic sense. But it's got to be a pretty high ratio.
All right, a few things. I mean, as a minor point, I wouldn't agree with you about the sort of bar, the hurdle that we're passing in terms of where their money would have gone, but I don't know. I don't think that's an argument worth having now, because I don't think it's that relevant to what we're discussing now, which is more, you know, Bob is making this point that doesn't have to do with the long-term steady state. It has to do with, you know, he wants to see,
right.
I guess what you'd call it, a certain straw ratio, or a certain we're moving X money for X operating.
Right.
And I think where we are now, I mean, I'll just lay out where I stand on that right now, which is that I agree with that. I'd like to do that. At the same time, like, going out and raising money from people who we don't know is, you know, with the low amount of research we have, and especially the low breadth, which has not really been brought up, which I'll get to, I think is just, at least at the current size of staff, is just not a reasonable thing for us to be doing. In that, I think we can do it, but it's going to hurt our research too much. And that's exactly what I think has happened over the last few months, is that, to me, the progress we've made on research is not acceptable. We need to, you know, way ramp up the time that we spend on it. And I just don't think you can have it both ways. So the only way, when I laid out how we're going to ramp up the time spent on research and how we're going to spend on time our time, you end up with not that much time left over for marketing. I think enough time so that we can hit the low-hanging fruit and that our research gets better and more people are linking to it and this and that, that we can, you know, we're not going to just totally sit in a corner. But I don't think you can pursue both goals simultaneously. And so I would just say, you know, our money moved is what it is, and people have to decide whether to support us based on that. That's my inclination. And obviously, if we're getting different answers from different supporters, then that has to change, because, you know, if the people who are going to fund us want to see a certain straw ratio, then we gotta make it happen or else we die. But the point where we are, you know, my certainly the, what I would advocate to any supporting donor is we got to focus on the research, and our straw ratio is what it is, which is about 1-to-1.
So I agree with that, the conclusion of what you're saying, because I think, like, it is, like, I do think you didn't do, and I don't, it would be hard to guide. I don't know that the research that you have done, and let's get away a little bit away from the research and focus on the insight that you've created, it wasn't all that well packaged to the donor, so I wonder how much that factored in, but I'm sure you guys personally did a good job describing the insight, even if I thought the research packages that described the research were a little bit disappointing on that point.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't know how well we actually got that point across to those people, that the thing that they're sort of buying into is the insight that about how people donate, why, like the purpose of it, which I think is really highly compelling and sellable. Then, you know, and I know you guys do a pretty good job of that in person, I think. But I didn't think the pieces that you wrote, particularly the research pieces, get the insight across enough so that people, like, I just worry about, even when we go forward, the packaging of the research in an accessible way so people see this as something that grabs them, that's like not kind of falls into the things that people just don't read. Like, that's what I'm worried
right.
about.
Right.
Do a lot of research, and it's just too dense and too unclear for people to really connect with it, which is how I felt about it. Had it not been for you guys, I just don't think there's any way I'd get started with what you're delivering.
Yep. So you read, you're saying
right,
this
the
about
blog,
the packets?
I would say the old blog was something I would connect with because the, not like I think we had to change it for the reasons we did, but I just, the more you make the bold, insightful comments clear to people over much more, and I feel like you probably feel like you do that all the time because you guys do it all the time, but I don't think the world hears it all the time, that is so critical to, like, and how the piece of research you're doing fits into those insights is so critical to making it accessible.
Well, I agree with all those, you know, I agree conceptually with all that. A couple things. I mean, one, you know, we did try to, there's sort of two sets of research we did. There's what we had in December, which was, you know, completely dense. And then there were these packets we made for fundraising purposes, which I think you read,
right.
And we never really got your feedback on. So that's something, yeah, those are the ones you're referring to.
Right. Well, I mean,
okay.
The other point, like, I do think there's a purpose to the dense thing. I think that that's good, but that's not what I'm referring
right.
to the ones made for the
right.
marketing.
Right. So that's, I mean, we should make sure to, well, go ahead.
Clear. Like, there's good clarity. The thing that I still struggled with on the individual pieces, I thought your purpose of GiveWell piece was good, was fine. Like, I forget, what I'm remembering is research pieces and then one that was kind of
yep.
the overview of what GiveWell was.
Yeah, that's right.
The
yep,
overview
right.
of GiveWell I thought was good, clear. The individual research pieces, what I think was missing was sort of the integration of the purpose of GiveWell into those pieces so each piece stands on its own so that when you're reading that, because not everybody is making that connection all the way there, they're just going to be reading this piece that's in front of them, and without connecting sort of that the purpose of GiveWell and how that's represented in this piece, I think they don't stand on their own all that well.
Okay.
It's not clear to me what the, like, when you read that, what did GiveWell find that others didn't find? Why did they find it? What are you guys doing differently? Like, that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's my main. So I worry that the reason it failed is possibly that it wasn't marketed well, and that we go scale it and we run into the same problem.
Yep.
Now, I don't worry about that enough to say you shouldn't do what you're doing. I think it's fine, but that, and actually good. I think focusing on the research would be my preferred option. And I think because we can work on what it's going to look like, but if you're going to try to scale it out, you're going to need to think beforehand, what is this thing going to look like so that people can connect to it and so that people know
yep.
how to write it.
Right. Well, I think the goal of both develop great research and communicate it well are, like, those are the two pieces that we're talking about. And then the last piece is then get people to use it and pony up the dough, right? And so, I mean, I think the goal is both of those things, great research and the
usability.
And
right.
Usability, like, that is included in the idea of delivering great research.
Right. Although it's important, like, although I agree they're both important, they're different things. And we have to decide, like, at this point, it seems to me that there is a pretty clean distinction between them in terms of time allocation. And that's one of the tougher choices we have to make. And personally, what I've done now in those documents is I've actually put the focus for now on doing the research, not on presenting it. Because I think that we need to have a more reliable, steady, scalable, systemic way of producing insight. And I'm worried about that. And I think that if we can create that and produce that, then we can pass it on to someone else. If we fold, I mean, there's, you know, it will be a valuable thing to have done. And I'm very worried about splitting up our time too much and, you know, working a lot on making it engaging and not really kind of getting much better at producing the insight in a more consistent and quick way. So that's kind of where I stand now, and so I've thrown the making it more engaging, which I recognize is an important problem. I've thrown it into the bucket of marketing, which is a small bucket as we put things out. And I think that's going to be an ongoing...
That's being thought of the wrong way. Like,
okay.
I think that you need to start with a very clear picture of how people are going to go about research, what they're looking for. Like, I just don't know how you're going to scale it without this, without clarity of what do I want to, when somebody does research for me, what do I want to get back? And that's really the same thing as what you're describing as a presentation thing. And I'm thinking of a thinking thing. Like, what is it that we found? What is the insight? What is like somebody going to connect to is a statement of what is valuable about this. And I think you got to start with a premise of what that looks like so that people, I think you so easily research can turn into an unbelievable waste of time if people are just out there researching without extreme clarity of what they're going to deliver. So I imagine the scaling up of the research could be very, very painful because you'll end up with like a lot of churn or have to really constantly direct people.
All right, I'm thinking
you know,
about
so,
this.
So my question is, do you think you have a lot of clarity on what it is you want delivered to you? What is the researcher going to deliver?
I mean, I'll just put it this way. Like, I think I have a lot of clarity, and I'm happy to discuss, like, what our questions are, what we think a person like you is going to want to know, and how we can go about finding it. And when I say making the research more presentable, though, I do think of kind of a different thing that, you know, one is kind of, it's just a tone, it's just a boldness of the way that you put things, it's just a, you know, the way in which you word them, because it's a matter of taking something that Ellie and I find very compelling, and we think that if we could, you know, have a discussion with someone, we could get them to find very compelling, and finding the words to put it down that will produce that same effect standing on its own. I do think of that as a separate thing. And then another major thing that I think of as presentation is like a frequency thing. Like I mean, this is kind of a minor point, but I think that we, you know, one of the ways that I would try to make our research more engaging is that I would try to I guess cut it up into bite-sized chunks more. Which I think, you know, in a way you should be doing that all the time. I mean, you should be saying, I want to answer this question and it's a small question and I'm going to answer it. But there's always just this distinction between the emails I write to the research list, which is this is the question we wanted to answer and this is what we found. And then just like stepping back and putting that in the broader context and saying this is why this is interesting. So they are kind of different tasks in my head. You know, I don't want to ignore the one, but they are different. Hopefully that clarifies how. Like, what I'm trying to say is that, like, I have a clear picture of what I want to know and what I think you will want to know and how we can find the answer. And I do think it's different to go from, I've answered this factually and I can explain it to someone if I can discuss it with them versus I can, you know, put on paper
okay,
something
so
that
we're in agreement. Like, I agree with what you're saying. So my question
okay.
is, have you written down what you mean by that statement, that I have a clear picture of, because I don't, I'm just wondering if you... how that's going to work.
Yeah. Well, it always, you know, it always changes somewhat, but we do have this blog post from a couple months ago that I think is a pretty good summary of like what we're trying to find out. And obviously I also could discuss it with you.
Okay. So we could either spend that time or I could read that blog post, but okay. So that's really what I meant. And so I agree
yeah.
beyond that, if you have a lot of clarity to what you're researching and it's not dependent on the individual researcher to sort of reinvent that, then I think you could have a scalable process. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a mess, but it sounds like you've already thought about that. So we could keep moving on other topics. It's fine.
Yeah, I think we have, and I hope you'll agree. So I'll send you the blog post, and then I'll want your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Like, I mean, the blog post definitely lays out like what we're trying to do and how. We're not looking around haphazardly. And then there's the question of, you know, so I'd like your thoughts on it. I'll send
and
it
that, but you feel like, I felt like, correctly, but that the last set of, when you did the research last year, you were somewhat looking around haphazardly. Is that not true?
Yeah.
And that was...
It was, no, that's very true. I mean, it was a fundamentally different approach, where last year, what we did, it was very bottom up. And so we basically said, we're going to rely on charities to tell us what we need to know and what we need to think about, because the best charities should be able to do that. And now we have a much more top-down approach, which is, you know, we assume that we're going to get most of our useful information from publicly available academic literature. That's something I think we've learned, and I'd stand by that, that that's more likely than getting it from charity. So it's a different approach. And yeah, I mean, we've written down what we want to know in much more specificity than we ever did last year. Last year we sent out grant applications.
Okay, so we're in sync. Okay.
Now, it also seems to me that over the next 6 months, what you guys are doing is largely just shifting resource, planning on doing what you're doing with developing world research anyway as part of the existing plan. And therefore, as we go through that process, we're not necessarily making a huge change and learning about how scalable and extensible this new approach is.
Well, I mean, that's true. Like the big change we are making, though, is what, you know, our focus, our goal that, you know, we are trying to deliver is. Like, of course, we were always trying to deliver the goal of good research as well. But now we're saying we don't think we can deliver both the money moved goal and the research goal. We want to spend significant resources on research, and that means that we might not hit the, you know, we probably won't hit the money goal.
Right. Well, I also think the goal is not just to deliver some research about developing world aid. It's to think about how to develop a scalable research process that we can then essentially turn out. You know, it's like, we're thinking about developing world aid. What do? You figure out all the ways to deal with it. You figure out which ones work. You figure out the organizations that do the things that work.
Right.
You give the money to the organizations, right?
Yep.
It's like that's the sort of, I mean, that is like at an extremely high level what we're thinking about doing, right? And so thinking about that process, you know, the question, we want to, you know, solve